Okay, so let's start with the questions, or?
Sorry, I can't pronounce the name. In that, let's go again. Yeah.
Hi, Ajahn. Good afternoon. Calling from Texas.
Texas? Oh. Well, what time is it now in Texas? 3 o'clock in the morning, huh?
Well, in this part of Texas, it's 5 o'clock in the morning.
Okay. Well, what part of Texas are you from?
Houston,
Texas. Okay, so what is your question?
So, I have been working on my meditation since December, January. I'm able to spend at least 2-3 hours every day. And on the weekends, I'm able to spend 6-7 hours, sometimes 8. So, I'm making progress little by little. I try to do the daily reflection before, and I didn't do a good job. So I'm going to try again. I'm going to put more effort. So on the daily reflection, I think I'm having the same challenges that you pointed out in some of your videos. I judge a lot on the thoughts and the actions. But also one of my bigger problems is that I don't remember a lot of the actions and a lot of the thoughts that of the different events in the day. So I wonder what can I do to improve that, and whether that has something to do that I'm not aware enough as I do things through the day.
Yes, that is certainly one thing, yeah, that we don't have enough sati. But it is mostly that it's mostly a training of the memory, yeah. So how long have you done it? How long have you done the daily reflection? How many months?
Just 1 month. I tried before for 1 month, and I gave up, and I tried again.
Don't give up. It will increase. You will see. You know, after 2 or 3 months, you will see. You will see more. Yeah, you will remember more of the things there. Yeah? And the judging, of course, does not help. Yeah. So I mean, when you see judging, yeah, judging the thoughts, judging your actions, just tell yourself judgment. And then go back to the next, yeah? Next event, yeah? Don't stay with it, yeah? And don't punish yourself for it, yeah? I mean, this is very common, yeah? I mean, you will see it in your meditation, yeah? You even judge in your meditation. The breath, you know, I mean, I should do the breath like this, I should do the breath like that, or the Buddha like this or that. It's all judgment, yeah? So You can use this, you know, you can use your daily meditation to get a little bit rid of the judgment and also the controlling element. Yeah? Trying to control the Buddha or trying to control the breath. Yeah? But I mean, with this kind of hours, you know, that you spend on meditation, I mean, it really will, yeah, go forward quite quickly. Yeah.
Thank you, Ajahn.
Okay, so another question, or?
Yeah, who wants to go next?
Don't write down. Listen with the heart. If you don't understand, ask Saulin.
Yeah, Hector.
Ukraine. Hello. How is Ukraine?
Well, it seems to be okay. Her parents are still fine, so not too much. A lot of bombs, but that's normal. It's a strange sentence I never thought I would say in my life.
Yeah. But, yeah. Yes, it is quite a strange sentence, you know. I mean, any war country, yeah. But when you think about, you know, when you think about the war in Ukraine, it is now a little bit more than a year. When you think about it, Afghanistan, 20 years of bombs, yeah? Or even Iraq, you know, anyway. Yeah.
I try to see it as free meditation. It's free Asubha.
What?
You know? It's free Asubha.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't have to try and do it.
No. Yeah, you go, you probably see the videos, you know, of the people, you know, of the soldiers, you know, be torn apart by mines and bombs, you know. Ah, that is free of soul.
Yeah.
And what kind of feeling come up?
It used to be a lot of fear. Now not so much. It's more hatred. It actually has to do with the question I wanted to ask you.
Okay.
So I'll tie it in. I was meditating on death and Asuka, figure. And I investigated, and then I came to some really simple paticca-samuppada, this, and then the questions disappeared. And then samadhi started to arise, and I said, okay, that's the end of this investigation. But instead of allowing the samadhi to coalesce, there was the center point of the samadhi, and I jumped to the center point instead of allowing the samadhi to emerge.
Yeah.
And it was like this fire. And as I got really close to it, it became very hot.
Yeah.
And there was this door in front of me. And I've ran into this door before, but never knew what I was actually approaching. And my response to this door in the past was to try and kick it down.
Mm-hmm.
But now I didn't have to kick it down because it's open. And now the question was, why am I scared to walk through it? And then I asked myself that question, and this image appeared in my mind of a burning house and a little boy playing with toys.
Mm.
And I was screaming at the boy, and I was angry with him.
Mm.
And I tried to show him pictures of Asuka, like, look what's going to happen if you continue to stay in this house. And he just looked at me and he said, give me 5 more minutes. I want to play. I want to keep playing.
Mm.
And that made me even more angry. And I was screaming and I was crying. I mean, I was meditating and I was crying so much. And it was, you know, very dramatic, blah, blah, blah. And then at the end of it, there was this recognition of I have to be patient. And everything just calmed down and I got really quiet. And then there was this voice that it was one sentence and it was very powerful. And I knew that this was the Dhamma. And it just said, they really like to put on a show, don't they?
Yes.
And so, go ahead, sorry.
The thing, what you saw, this boy that sits in the house on fire and was playing is you.
Yes, yes, yes.
And that's why you got angry, yeah?
Yes.
You got angry at the Kalesas, you know, that still wants to play, you know? But, you know, you see it, you know, it is actually burning, you know, burning your life, yeah?
Yeah, and the calmness after was the adult. It was he was looking in the house and he knew it was just a scary movie. You know, like, no matter what happens, a bomb could blow my face off. And yeah, it's scary, it's painful, but it's just a bad movie, you know? But I'm angry at myself for being so stupid that I keep on playing with toys. So when I do a super now, I recognize it's self-hatred. Why are you so incompetent? You can do samadhi. You can do investigation. All these things are so clear to me. Why are you still so incompetent that you can't figure this out? You know, I must have been one of those monks in a past life who beats himself, you know? Like, I was probably the best. You know, I had all of the blood on me, you know? So, is this where metta comes in? This moment, that's when I use the Brahma Viharas? Or do I just keep investigating?
Just a moment, we have a problem with the internet.
Oh, yeah? Sure.
What? No, I'm not going to use it. You first turn off the... before you turn off the... Oh, you need the amplifier?
It's okay. Yeah.
Okay, so... the last sentence, repeat the last sentence.
Basically...
you wanted to use the metta.
Yeah.
Go more... before you can use the metta anytime, you know, if it becomes too much for you. Yeah. But try to really dive into this feeling of hatred and see the burning of it. And then ask yourself, why am I doing this to myself?
The closest I've gotten, the most fundamental, is that it's actually a conceit, a pride, and the hatred of it's the hatred. I catch it just as the hatred comes, and it's actually a feeling of I'm so smart, or I should be so smart and so wise, that the fact that I haven't gotten this attainment or that attainment is proof that I'm stupid. But it only emerges as a consequence of the conceit. So the center point seems to be actually pride of this hatred. At least that's where I'm catching it, but maybe I'm off.
You go too much into thinking or trying to explain things. Don't try to explain things. Feel them.
Okay.
Yeah? Feel them. And if you really want to know what brings up this hatred, you know, is going back one step, what came before this hatred, you know, came up. Maybe it was a thought of conceit. Maybe it was this. But, you know, what came before this thought? What came before this memory? What came before this feeling? Where did it actually start? Yeah? Did it start with seeing the images? And what kind of thoughts, you know, I mean, were attached to these images or came because of these images? What kind of memories came because of these images? You really want to see the whole process, yeah? Because once you make a conclusion, it was pride or it was this or was that, your investigation stops and you will never get down to the real cause.
Right, okay, so until samadhi sets in as a result of the investigation, it's not over. Because
until a clear mind, you know, until a clear mind. But you do have to do this following, you know, following what came before this hatred, yeah? And before you can really do that, you know, you really have to see this fire of the hate. Really dive into
it's
this.
It's very hot.
Yeah, it is very hot, yeah? Yeah? And then the first question you ask yourself, why am I doing this to myself? And then you now go back, what came before this hate? Before this hate came, yeah? And what kind of thoughts, what kind of memories are attached, you know, that are the fuel of this hate? Because the hate needs to be fueled, yeah? If the hate just comes up, you know, because of one thought, it instantly stops, yeah? Once the thought is gone, you know, I mean, the feeling stops, you know, pretty much, yeah? So there must be some fueling elements, you know, I mean, who keep the hate going, yeah? So it must be memories or must be thoughts or must be visualizations that you, yeah?
Hate is my best friend. That's what just came to my mind. It's my friend. I like hate because it pushes me. Oh,
okay.
That's disgusting.
Oh, no, God. That is okay. Lungda Mahabua, you know, I mean, all of his monks, you know, most of his monks, you know, were monks, you know, who had a lot of hate in it. And he said, if we use the hate in the correct way, we can advance very quickly.
Use it so it's okay?
Yeah. Use the hate against the kilesas who produce that hate. But before you have to see how they produce the hate. So you turn the hate, yeah? The hate is a weapon of the kilesas against you, yeah? So it is like a spear, you know, and then you look at the spear and then you turn the spear around and point it towards the one who points it to you.
Ah, the bastards. And I've had that thought where I'm ripping my face apart because I'm so angry. And then I think, no, I should rip the kilesas apart.
That's right.
I should eat their face.
That's
right.
And
as soon as I do that, I just hear, no, that's too extreme. That's too extreme. Okay, I got it. Okay. I got it.
Okay, another question?
Yeah, Carlos?
Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you. What is it, California or Washington?
Washington.
Washington. Okay.
It's really early here. It's 3 a.m.
3 a.m. Oh, okay.
Yeah. How are you, Bante?
I'm fine.
Everything good for you.
Yeah?
Okay.
But you don't sound very fine. You have a cold or what?
No,
No.
No, I guess it's because I just woke up like in the middle of the night.
Okay.
I guess I'm still waking up or something. I don't know.
Okay. So what is your question?
Marte, I don't know if you remember, but I've been trying to work a lot and very focused on my lust.
Yeah.
And I think I've made some progress and that I'm satisfied with. Keep on working, of course. It is easier now to react to, like, you know, forms and ladies that appear like attractive or anything. So I'm really happy about that progress. But now I'm starting to notice something that I didn't think I had before. I didn't, for my whole life, I didn't consider myself like an angry person. Normally I'm not reactive and not non-violent. I've never been in a fight or anything like that. But now I start to notice that there is some anger there. Like in traffic, somebody cuts me off or anything. I start to feel like this thing coming up here. Why? I didn't have this before. What's happening?
It is, if you reduce lust, you know, anger will come up, yeah? If you use the super practice, anger will come up, yeah? And the anger will not be directed towards what you're seeing or what you're using as a super. It will be directed towards person, you know, for instance, the person, you know, who drives a little bit crazy, you know, in front of you, yeah? Or the worker or whatever, you know, or in the shop, you know, a person who doesn't behave according to your views and opinions, yeah? And then this hate comes up, yeah? Because of the reducement of lust, yeah? Or greed, you know, for this or that, yeah? That's what we normally do. But let me ask you a question, you know? When you look at your house, yeah, or apartment that you live in, is it orderly or not?
Yeah.
So you're a hate person. It is always you have much more hate than lust, yeah? Yeah. People who are angry keep the house or their apartment very clean, very nice, you know, very orderly. Yeah. If you see a greedy person, their apartment is a mess.
Yeah. Okay. That's new to me. Well, I'm not obsessively orderly, but
I mean, there are all variations, yeah? It happened the same to me. I never thought of myself as being an angry person or a hateful person because I always avoided it, yeah? Yeah? Until, you know, until my master, Lungta Mahabho, showed me, yeah? And see? Wow! Yeah? And then the heat came up, yeah?
Yeah, the heat. Really weird.
Yeah?
But sometimes now, actually, Bante, even, you know, when I'm working outside and I see like an attractive lady, and then okay, here comes the loss. It's better now; it's not so driven through now. But now I'm noticing more than I'm actually getting angry at myself because of feeling attraction to a lady. You know? What? I'm supposed to be, like, you know, concentrating and gaining on this, and now I have this other guy coming to me and, you know.
Don't think how you are supposed to be. Just know how you are, yeah? Because, I mean, we deal, you know, just like the last person. You have to deal with this anger that comes up, yeah, and direct it towards the kilesas. First we have to feel the anger. It is fire, you know, it's hot. Yeah? Yeah? And then, yeah, just like I told the last person, see, you know, ask yourself, why am I doing this to myself? Yeah? This doesn't solve it, you know? And then go back. What came before that? Yeah? Were you angry about your attachment to a beautiful woman? Yeah? Or was it, you know, that you turned her down and that made, you know, the anger come up? Or what happened? Yeah? What was before that, you know? I mean, roll it back, you know, until you see what really caused it. Because neither this woman not your views, not your thoughts, not your memories put, actually produced it. There was something else behind it. Yeah? And this is what you want to catch. And if you have a lot of anger, you now use it towards the kilesas that produce it. Yeah?
Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah. It is, you know, you have to find a way how to do it, you know? Yeah? You have to experiment what works, you know? Yeah? Okay?
I will try to do that, Bhante. Yes. Thank you so much.
Yeah, you're welcome. Okay, next.
Dahlia? You on mute?
Yeah?
Thank you.
Where are you from?
Aja, nice to see you. I'm from Romania.
Romania?
Oh. And moved when I was 22 to USA.
Okay.
I have a question for you, Ajahn. I did practice now for years meditation. It gives me a peace and all like new experiences and all that and mindfulness.
Mm.
But always I felt it for 30 this irritation and sometimes anger coming out, constantly irritation staying there.
Yeah.
I truly step back because I realized that I blocked all the childhood and I couldn't remember anything. The mind completely blocked it. So when I was doing meditation, sometimes you surface in sleep or when it's triggered.
Yeah.
And I trace it back and I saw that the childhood trauma I was going through, which is quite severe, back, you know, those days, and you were not allowed to say anything, or, you know, I mean, you're from Germany, I'm sure.
Ceausescu. Yeah, we heard a lot of things.
And I realized it's from there. But when I remember it and I surfaces, my body went in kind of like seizures. Okay, I start shaking and all kind of weird, like I couldn't talk anymore. All kind of body reaction to it, and. I'm thinking how I can, because it only happens when it's either a trigger or something. Otherwise, I don't know. I mean, I'm very peaceful in meditation. I'm very peaceful. But, you know, when something happens that triggers that, I lose control.
Okay.
So I don't know how I can work with this and try to overcome it. I know about karma, I know about it, but I'm trying here to ask you, please forgive me. I don't know what else to do.
Why should I forgive you? I mean, there's nothing to forgive you, yeah? You can ask the question, you know, and I'm really willing to help you, yeah? If you understand karma, and you know, I mean, you're born in Romania because of your karma, you're born in your family because of the karma, and things that happen to you is because of your karma. But, you know, what we did, yeah? I mean, what most of the people do, you know, all over the world, is suppressing these things that happened to us when we were young, yeah? And now within your meditation, you uncovered layer by layer and slowly come to these things that were suppressed, yeah? And no matter how much, you know, I mean, how much energy you put into the suppression, with this kind of energy, it comes up. So you must have suppressed it very much, yeah? Because when it comes out, you know, you feel it, you know, like your body is shaking or seizures, yeah?
It's crazy, yes.
Yeah. So you have suppressed it very much, yeah? So you slowly, yeah, you slowly open it just a little bit, you know, try to accept it, you know, and use also metta, you know, yeah? Metta to yourself, yeah? Yeah?
Okay.
Because you are the one who suppressed it, yeah? You are the one who didn't want to see it, yeah, and said, no, I don't want to know about this, you know, I mean, it's so horrible what I experienced, no matter, you know, no matter what it was. And slowly, you know, so you take up the first, you know, the first layer, you know, what you see, and then just stay with it. Don't go deeper, yeah, don't go until, you know, the seizures start, you know, just slowly, slowly uncover it layer by layer and layer, yeah, but try to accept it, yeah? What happened?
Okay.
Yeah?
Uh-huh. Because I didn't realize it only when I start meditation and start, you know, because back then I had to survive the environment I was in.
Yeah.
So, but I didn't know that actually the mind blocked it to survive and go on with life.
Mm.
Now that I'm trying to go to the source of it, it starts surfacing big time, and it's sometimes quite scary.
Yeah. That's why I said go slowly, yeah? But you will have to go through. Yeah? I mean, most of the meditators, yeah? I mean, will experience some of their bad karma that they have done in their childhood, or the things that they have suppressed, or even some things, you know, that come from a previous life, yeah? So it will be a very tough time, you know, and people, you might ask you, your friends or colleagues ask you, well, what are you doing? You look terrible, yeah? But you know that you're doing the right thing, yeah? So you slowly accept it, yeah? Whatever comes up in the heart. And be sure, yeah? I always told to myself, things, yeah, I mean, sometimes I cried, sometimes, you know, it was so painful, you know, what was in the heart, yeah? And I said, you know, I mean, it only comes up when you are able to deal with it in a wholesome manner. It doesn't come up when you are not able to deal with it. Yeah?
Mm-hmm.
So find something, you know, I mean, have some metta with yourself, yeah? Hmm?
Yeah.
And then go and slowly uncover, you know, slowly uncover, you know, what is the path. When it is too much, stop it. Go back to the Buddha, 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 and then it disappears, yeah? And then, you know, when you feel calm again, you know, and you feel some compassion, then go back again, you know, and then uncover, you know, layer by layer by layer, yeah? That is the way how to deal with it.
Because last time it was quite a shock because I was triggered and I fell down in a fetus position.
Uh-huh.
And I didn't want to, people to touch me, and it was unbelievable. And after that I realized, not while, you know, how never had that reaction in 40, I don't know, 35 years.
Uh-huh.
And now it's surfacing. Can you imagine? I mean, it's unbelievable.
Yeah.
It shocked me, really.
Yeah. It's okay. Accept it, yeah? I mean, that is what is happening. I mean, when we truly do meditation, things will surface, yeah? Things, you know, that we have done in the past or that we have suppressed in the past will surface, and all the pain, yeah, that we suppressed in the past, yeah, things that we didn't want to know about, things we have done and didn't want to know about, yeah, will come up, you know, and will surface. And then the only thing we can do is accept it. Once we are able to accept it, we can put it away, and it won't come again, yeah. I mean, we might have to accept it 3 or 4 times, yeah, but then it won't come back again, yeah. So, I mean, do it slowly. When you see, you know, things are tightening up so that you cannot control, then go back to the Buddha, 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 Buddha. Yeah? Yeah?
Okay.
Yeah?
And should I practice metta to the people which they hurt me to, right?
Oh, yes, yes. And forgive them. Try to forgive them. Say, you know, I mean, actually, it is not that people who did that to me. It is me who did it unto myself, because whatever they did to me, yeah, I have done to them in my previous life. I know it is difficult, yeah, but you understand karma. You cannot teach normal people about that because nobody understands that, yeah. But we only experience the things, yeah, that we have done unto others, yeah, and not in this life, yeah, because we are born in a situation that is terrible, you know. I mean, because yeah, in our previous life we put people into a situation that was completely terrible, yeah. And we have to experience it, we have to go through it, and we have to accept it, so that the cause, yeah, of our karma can be eradicated.
Very good. Yes, I understand. It's really hard, but...
It is really hard, and tears can come up. It doesn't matter, you know, as long as you can deal with it and control it, it's fine. If you can't, Buddha, 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 yeah?
So, everything, because what is in a subconscious will actually eventually...
Has to come up.
Okay.
The deeper we go with our meditation, the more you will see levels of subconsciousness. In the beginning, it's just something, you know, that happened within the recent, you know, maybe what, 10 years, yeah? And then 20 years, you know, and then, you know, I mean, you will dig deeper into your subconscious level until everything is open. Then...
Yes, it is like 40 years. I remember now that what, age 5.
Yeah, that's good. It hurts, but it's good. Yeah, yeah. And then you will remember even more. Yeah, I mean, your subconscious, you know, will become conscious. Yeah, and as long as it's subconscious, we cannot deal with it. The moment, you know, it comes to the level of consciousness, we are able to deal with it.
When it comes to the conscious, it's so yucky. It's so interesting.
Yeah. But we have done that unto other people, yeah? Feel sorry for the people you have done that to them. And, you know, the people who have done this to you, yeah, have nothing to do with this karma, yeah? Because you feel sorry for them because, you know, they will experience the same thing in their next life. Huh? And you don't wish that for them.
No, I don't.
Okay?
Thank you so much, Azan. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Next, Joseph.
Yeah, Joseph. Hi, Ajahn. This is the first time I'm on Zoom, but I've been following your YouTube videos and your website. Yeah, Ajahn. My question is, like, you just talked about people who have hurt us. Actually, it's because we have hurt them before in the past or in the past life. Yeah, I would like to share that I had gone through betrayal and hurts before, and I had harbored like anger and unforgiveness. But before this, I did not have this understanding about karma, and I didn't have this understanding about what you just said about people hurting us is because we have hurt them in the past life before. And my experience was quite traumatic because the unforgiveness is very strong. Yeah. Could you explain a little bit more so that I can understand how it works?
It is, I mean, the people who do these things to you are not the ones you did that upon them. It can be anybody. So they have nothing actually to do with what you did, you know. I mean, if you did it to person A, yeah, in your last life, yeah, it can be person B or C that does the same thing to you, yeah, because the karma, you know, comes back to you. It can be the same person, but it is very unlikely that it is the same person, yeah. So, these things, yeah, these things, you know, karma is, yeah, whatever we have done unto others, yeah, if we, the more we understand our Western saying, don't do unto others what you don't want others to do unto you. For whatever you experience right now is what you have done unto others, be it good or be it bad. Yeah? This is the basic, the deeper you understand that, and this can be in thoughts, in words, or in actions. Yeah. So, I mean, thoughts come back to you as karma, words come back to you as karma, if you have the intention. You have to understand, karma is created not by what you do or what you say or what you think. It is by the intention, what you want to do with these words, yeah, that you utter. You want to hurt somebody. You know, it can be nice words, but it can be very hurt. You want to hurt somebody, yeah. So the hurt comes back to you, yeah. It's not the same words that come back to you. The action, the same thing. Intention creates, you know, creates a karma, yeah. And we can have very good We think we can have very good intentions, yeah, to help this person, but actually, you know, we are very selfish, you know. I mean, we do the things, you know, because it is selfish. So the karma will come back, you know, as something pretty neutral, you know, because it is not good karma or it is not bad karma. Yeah, we just, you know, it comes back as more arrogance or more pride or more conceit, yeah. Well, what is it that you want to exactly know? What is it that you want to understand, you know, so I can dig a little bit deeper?
So that means what you said is that because this person hurt me,
yeah,
so it is not because in the past life I have hurt this person.
That's right.
It can be because I hurt C or D or E or F,
yeah,
a different person.
Yes.
It's just that the karma returns.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay.
If you think about, you know, I mean, you ever seen a boomerang? Yeah? Something, you know, that flies, it has a, you know, a triangular shape. You know, you throw it, you know, and you kill with it, you know, an animal, and it comes back to you. Yeah? And it will kill you. Yeah? No matter, you know, this boomerang is the karma. Yeah? And whoever throws, you know, whoever throws it, you know, it doesn't really matter, you know, who this person is there.
Also, I'd like to ask you, like, if, for example, a person experiences a loss of huge amounts of money, or people have cheated and stolen money from the person before, can it be because also in the past life, the person had stolen money from other people before?
Yes, certainly. That is pretty much 100%. And it is also something that I have personally experienced, yeah. I, you know, when I was young, you know, my father taught us to be a very honest person. So when we found something, we brought it to the police, you know, so that, you know, the people can get it back, yeah. And when I went on tour in Europe, you know, I went with a friend, yeah. They broke into our car, yeah. And the things, you know, within the car, were mixed together. But what they took out were only the things, you know, that belonged to my friend. They never took my things, yeah? And this didn't happen only one time. It happened two or three times, yeah? I mean, one time, you know, it was in a hotel, you know, a hotel room, yeah? And, you know, all, with my friend, you know, the things were open there, you know? They only took, you know? It is like if they knew they can only take this from this person, yeah? And this is amazing, you know, I mean, it's really amazing, yeah. And one time, you know, I mean, I was writing to my work, you know, I lost my wallet, yeah. And I thought, oh shit, you know, because, you know, I mean, your credit cards, your information cards are all in there, yeah. Half an hour later, you know, somebody came, I found your wallet, yeah. Here, please have it, yeah. I mean, it is amazing how karma works, you know, good karma, but also bad karma, yeah. So people who are robbed, you know, have robbed other people in the past and in the past life, not in this life. Yeah, karma normally doesn't come back in the same life. Yeah, so people who do a lot of bad, and we see it, you know, at the moment in Europe or US, you know, a lot of people do very bad things, and they might have a very long life. Yeah. But when they come back, you know, they have to experience everything that they did, yeah? Well, first of all, they go to hell for a long time, yeah? But then, you know, sooner or later, they come back as a human being. And then everything they have done unto other people will come back to them, yeah? And the problem is, yeah, not only one time. If we do it to an animal, I think, if I remember correctly, it is 100 times, yeah? If we do a bad deed to an animal, it comes back to us, you know, hundreds of times, yeah? If we do a good deed, you know, to a human being, it comes back 1,000 times, yeah? If we do something bad to a human being, it comes back also 1,000 times. That's dangerous.
Previously, because I was not a practicing Buddhist and I didn't know about this, there was a rat that used to come to my house and did his business there, and I bought some rat poison.
Yeah, we all did it. If it is only one rat, yeah. Mm? I mean, the killing of animals, you know, the slaughtering of animals, it has to be a lot, you know. If it is, you know, if it is one rat, if you don't do it as a business, yeah, it will come back as a karma, but you will not be born as a rat, yeah? Okay, understood?
Yeah, yeah. Also, Ajahn, I want to ask you about voodoo, yeah? Because people like me, the mental proliferation and self-chatter, sometimes it can be negative.
Yeah.
So the sankhara starts working and the mental proliferation of thinking goes on and on and on and it's self-chatter, which is not good because of the kilesas. So with regards to using buddho, is it like using buddho as a self-chatter to replace the sankhara of mental proliferation?
You can see it as that, yeah? But chattering is always a lot of words, yeah? Buddha is just one word. So I wouldn't call it chattering. I would call it, you know, an object of concentration, yeah? So because you repeat Buddha all the time, you know, there is no chatter going on, yeah? But if you have a lot of chattering, you think about this, then you think about that, you think about that, that is chattering, yeah? But it is correct, you know, we use the word Buddha as an object of concentration, yeah? To reduce, because the chattering is coming out in thoughts. If you think a lot, Buddha is a more easy way, you know, to get rid of this chatter, yeah? I mean, in the beginning, I didn't know Buddha. I had to use the breath, you know, and it was very difficult to get rid of my chatter, yeah? But in the end, you know, after years, I could manage it, yeah? But if I would have known Buddha, 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 you know, I mean, it would have gone instantly, yeah? Because we use it, you know, we use it just like thoughts, you know? We use the thought of Buddha, yeah? And if you think Buddha, you cannot think anything else.
Yeah, but when I am using buto verbally, buto, 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 but my thoughts can be thinking of other things too.
Yeah, but then you do the buto too slow. Or you're not interested enough into the buto, yeah? I mean, buto, you know? I mean, imagine a Buddha rupa, you know? Yeah? When you say buto, buto, buto. Or do it very, when there are lots of thoughts, do it very fast. Buto, 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 buto. Yeah, and then there can be no chattering. Yeah, if you're not really interested in the Buddha, of course, you know, in the background there's a lot of thoughts. Yeah, yeah. So be more interested. Yeah, use something, you know, of your work where you get really absorbed into it, and use that, you know, to put into the Buddha.
Yeah, maybe I will use Buddha as a self-chatter.
Yeah. Yes, you can. Yes. Yeah.
To replace the mental
sankharas, it's okay. Yeah.
Yeah.
You can do it from the moment you wake up, Buddha, you know, until you go to sleep, Buddha. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Also, Ajahn, because I have not experienced samadhi or sati before, whatever knowledge I have comes from reading, comes from listening to talks. So my understanding of the five khandhas is there, right? Perception, the body, feeling, mental formations, and consciousness. I understand all this very well, but it's all only up here. And because it's only up here, the kilesas work on the citta, so I there is no coolness. Instead there is heat and sort of like, maybe the word anger is strong, but it's hatred.
Yeah, irritation, or you know.
Yes, I understand the concept. I understand all this, but it is only here.
Yeah, yeah, but there's one important thing, you know. I mean, people try to analyze things, yeah, and that is the way that we are used to or that we are programmed to do. Yeah? We don't analyze things, yeah. In the practice of meditation, we observe things in order to understand, yeah. I mean, there's a great example, you know. I mean, you know Newton, you know, when he saw the apple fall, I mean, he understood, yeah. Not by thinking about it, you know, he saw it, you know, and then formulated the law of gravity, yeah. It's through observing that we understand, yeah. And now we have replaced this kind of understanding that takes place in the heart with the understanding that takes place in the mind, and that's where we normally go wrong, yeah. You have to have samadhi, yeah? I mean, use the Buddha, sit down, you know, for an hour and say, you know, I just want to stay with the Buddha, 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 until you get calm, yeah? And then, yeah, and also, you know, don't reflect so much about the khandhas. What you can say is, you know, during the day, when you see judgment, then say, there is judgment. When you see a thought, say, there is a thought. Put the distance between you so that you can observe the thought or you can observe the memory. Yeah? This is the principle of anatta. Huh? Whatever I can experience, whatever I can see is not me, because the one who experiences is something else. Yeah? Just like you watch some other person doing something. You know what he is doing. Yeah? You don't have to think about it. Yeah. Understood?
Yes, that's why it's so wonderful to discover the Buddhism, where Buddhism teaches us that actually thinking actually is not the way in life. It's actually like what you always share, it's actually the citta, the knowing, the awareness that will teach us a lot of things.
Yeah.
But because of our education, because of our working life, our exposure to media, to all the rubbish, the propaganda in the world, it fills our mind to think that thinking is the way, but thinking is not the way in life.
It's not the way. And the most dangerous thing at the moment is the smartphone.
Yes.
Because we don't have to think at all. I mean, even with when we read newspapers when we were young, we read newspapers. I mean, we still, you know, I mean, there's still, or read books, you know, there was still some imagination going on while we were reading it. But now we get everything presented, you know. We don't even have to think about it anymore. Yeah, it's not the way not to think. Yeah, but we get all this garbage in, you know, and we don't contemplate it anymore. Yeah,
and it's very agitating.
Yeah, it can be very agitating.
Extremely agitating. And when it becomes habitual, it actually, there's no stability inside us.
Okay, so just do your Buddha, yeah?
Yeah, yeah, thank you. And
use the anicca. Say, there's a thought, there's a memory, there's a vision, or there's a sound, you know? Don't associate with the sound, yeah? Don't say, I feel like this, yeah? Or I think, or I, yeah? Put it away, you know, observe it, yeah?
Thank you, Ajahn.
Understand? The Indians? There are two Indians, aren't there? Yeah. Okay, so, I think today it's getting very long.
Yeah, it's almost an hour already. Anyone else with questions, live? going to ask. I'm sorry, man. Niva? No one?
How many questions do we have?
He has like five and we have many.
Five and many. Okay, so then read, if there is no live question, then read the questions, yeah?
Okay. So, again, what are character of our inner being that should be developed in order to become worthy of encountering the right circumstances, the right guidance?
It is always, as a general, you know, whatever, yeah, as a general, you are doing the things first that you want to encounter, yeah. So, if you want to encounter a good teacher, yeah, then you have to, yeah, you have first to have trust in the teaching, yeah, but you also, yeah, you have to be a good teacher who doesn't deceive people. Yeah? If you want to encounter this or encounter that, you first have to do it, yeah. Before you can encounter it. Yeah? People think, you know, I mean, we go to work, we don't get, you know, we don't get paid, you know, on the first day, we get paid after we work. Huh? No? Yeah? We have to work for 1 month before we get paid. No? So we have to do the things, so we have to do the work, you know, whatever we want, yeah? I mean, it is actually a very simple principle. Whatever we want, that is happening to us, we are going to do unto others, and then it will come back to us. Very simple, but very difficult, because we want things before. Yeah, we are going to do it. Eh? A lot of people, you know, want to become rich, you know, but they are not. Yeah, they haven't done any work, you know, in their previous lives, you know. They were not generous enough, so they don't become rich. Yeah. Okay, so next question.
Okay, next. Dear Ajahn, do you have any advice for a practitioner that is still in high school? Any tips on how to practice well and maintain a good mindfulness throughout the day? Thank you.
Being a good what?
Good mindfulness. To maintain good mindfulness throughout the day.
I mean, yes, if you're in high school, you know, I mean, you can still do the Buddha or Anapanasati as long as you don't have to think, you know, you can do it. Yeah. And... Yeah. That is the best thing, yeah. And do some formal meditation, you know, before you go to school, you know, do you know 20 minutes of formal meditation, yeah, be it the Anapanasati or be it the Buddha. When you come back from school, you know, do the same thing, yeah. That is the best way. Yeah? And then check, you know, I mean, you don't have to do the daily reflection yet, it is too difficult. Yeah, I mean, just check, you know, how the day went by, yeah, see, yeah, where I did, you know, where I did go off, or where I did, you know, didn't go off, you know, where I was still on the path, where I still had some awareness, yeah, and so on, yeah, that is my advice, you know, doesn't matter if you're a high schooler or not, yeah, it's pretty much the same for everyone. But a high schooler has to learn a lot of things, and also, I mean, he has to use his brain. So, I mean, if you use your brain, you know, if you use thoughts, yeah, I mean, you cannot meditate. Yeah? Because that is contradictive. It's a contradiction, yeah. I mean, when we do meditate, we want to stay on one object, yeah. When we use thoughts, you know, I mean, there are lots of objects, you know. Thoughts go around the world, yeah. Okay, next question.
Okay, so there's a question from message. So, dear Bhante, we know that suicide is wrong, but in a scenario where a person is faced with the prospect of either a possible death if he does not take further action, or to go ahead to see a doctor, which will be very costly and possibly yield low in results. So if the person who chooses to chooses death because he doesn't want to become a burden to the people around them and let whatever happens, including death. Is that suicide or not?
Is that what?
Is that suicide?
No.
So if
no. Why should it be a suicide? If he dies naturally, yeah, if he doesn't go and get this medicine, you know, or that medicine, or this treatment, or that treatment, how can it be suicide? Suicide is taking one's own life, yeah. But every person, you know, will die sooner or later because of some of sickness, you know. He will die of, you know, sometimes of a cold, you know, old person. Yeah, he dies, we say he dies of old age, you know, but actually, you know, all the organs are not functioning anymore. And there's nothing that we can do. You know? So if he decides not to take medicine, or if he tells his family, I mean, don't put me into the hospital, just let me die in peace, yeah? Because dying in a hospital, you know, is not as peaceful as dying back at home, you know, with your family around you. Yeah, who gives you something to drink, you know, who looks after you, you know, who wishes to sweat away from you. Yeah, so I mean, that is not certain, that's certainly not suicide. Yeah? I think I explained it in a talk, you know, in Singapore. Yeah, didn't, yeah. Even if you have somebody, you know, who is on a machine, you know, but wouldn't survive without a machine, if you stop the machine, it's not suicide. Yeah. Unless you have intention, you know, to inherit his wealth, yeah? then you have to be very careful, yeah. Okay, next.
Yeah, next question. Lately, my motivation is very low, and it's a struggle to convince myself to meditate. It feels like I'm afraid of something that might happen while meditating, though I don't know what was that. This makes beginning a meditation even harder. How should I deal with this? Thank you.
What is happening during meditation?
They're afraid that something might happen.
I mean, then they have to go into the fear. Yeah. I mean, whatever is happening, you know, it will happen, you know, no matter what we do. Yeah. So go into the fear, you know, I mean, and ask yourself, sooner or later, I will die, you know, that is the worst thing that can happen to me, yeah? Or sooner or later, you know, yeah, because of death, you know, somebody kills me, you know, this can be very, that can be even worse, you know, yeah? Slowly being tortured or being killed, you know, I mean, yeah? This can all happen to me, yeah? This is a motivation for us to practice, yeah? To practice to overcome this fear, yeah? I mean, the one who is fearless, you know, he's free, yeah? I mean, if I'm not afraid of anything, you know, I can do anything, yeah? If I'm afraid of this or that, you know, I cannot do these things because I'm afraid. Okay, next question.
Yeah, sorry, my eyesight is a bit noisy.
Yeah. What is noisy?
Yeah.
What is noisy? Is this it?
Oh, my side.
Oh, your side.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, help me to ask. Yeah. I mean.
It says, the question says, I'm an ex-bodybuilder and I have been training my body for most of my life. I cannot stop myself from eating 4 to 6 times, including supplements for sports a day, and training my body for beautification as well as strength. I intellectually understand that my body is going to get sick and old, but I still cannot stop myself from constantly upgrading it. How can I get the wisdom into my heart?
Yeah, I think I understand. The first principle, yeah, is to first get the mind calm, yeah. Without getting the mind calm, without thoughts, you know, a mind without thoughts and a mind without memories, you know, he sees clearly. And then, you know, when the mind is without thoughts and memories, then he looks at the body, yeah. And he looks at death, yeah, of course. I mean, he knows all these things, you know. You ask anybody around you, of course they know that they are going to die. But they don't want to die, yeah? And they will do whatever it takes, you know, to prolong their life, yeah? If they know they cannot prolong their life, whatever they do, they cannot prolong their life, yeah? And whatever they do, you know, I mean, they cannot beautify their, you know, beautify their body if they don't have, you know, if they don't have the karma, you know. They might be able to do it for a certain amount of time, just like some Hollywood stars, you know, I mean, who do plastic surgery, but after 20 years they look like a ghost, yeah? Yeah? They wouldn't look like a ghost if they wouldn't have done that. Yeah? So, this is the way, you know, first get your heart calm and then do body investigation, yeah? And don't worry about, you know, eating six times, you know, and things like that. Don't worry about this. Get the heart calm to see clearly what is happening. Because he has to see what is happening. Why he does these things. Why he wants a beautiful or strong body. Yeah? He has to see this thing. Because then, once he sees it, you know, he can he can remedy the problem. I cannot tell him what the problem is. So, next question.
It says, my mind wants to become a millionaire, but my heart wants freedom. I keep having this conflict within myself.
Yeah.
After meditating, I feel relieved. But once I get back into a lay life, I get brainwashed that I need to work more on my business and my career in order to get rich. What to do?
What to do? Meditate more. That's a simple thing, yeah? And see these things and do daily reflection, yeah? And ask yourself, what kind of happiness do I get, yeah? While I'm working for more money or for more power? And is power itself really that, yeah, worthwhile, you know, to work yourself the butt off, yeah? Or is money really, you know, I mean, you cannot buy anything, you know, with money that makes you happy, but because the happiness arises in the heart. If you meditate, you find the happiness and you find the peace, yeah, in your heart, yeah. There's no money that can buy peace. And there's no money that can buy freedom. And there's no power that can give you freedom. And there's no power that can give you peace, yeah. You have to find it in your heart. That is the answer.
The next question, I completed a 3 days meditation retreat in May, and I threw a fit in office the next day. I was also easily irritated. Did I practice meditation correctly, or is this normal?
That depends on what you practiced, yeah? If she practiced, which meditation retreat in May? Is it not the one in Palila, yeah? If she practiced, yeah, a super practice, or if she was in confrontation with ugly things, yeah, then of course it is very, very plausible that she explodes, yeah. She has to make her heart calm, yeah, and you know, and if she practices a super, never practice a super when you're still with colleagues, yeah, huh? When you're still out in the world, yeah, I practice a super when you're alone to see the heart, to see the hatred coming up, yeah. And then learn to deal with the hatred. Yeah?
Okay, the next question. For reflection, it is about looking at what are the things that was done for the day without judgment. I took a short time to reflect. May I know what I should do after that? Because it was supposed to be an hour reflection. Thank you.
It doesn't have to be an hour reflection. Yeah? Try to remember as much and detailed as possible. In the beginning, you know, it can take an hour, but you know, as I said, you know, once you're trained into that, you can see it within minutes, you know, the whole day, you know, in front of your, you know, you see it like a film, yeah? Try, when I, you know, I mean, the daily reflection, when I woke up, with what kind of thought, or with what kind of memory woke up, or what kind of feeling, or what kind of mood was I in? What did I do then? What kind of thoughts were accompanied by my actions? What kind of thoughts were accompanied by my words? Yeah, and so on, and so on, and so on, goes through the day. And that, for a normal person, it takes hours, yeah? If you can't remember, just skip it and go to the next, yeah? Yeah? So she might skip a lot, and that's why it doesn't take an hour.
Okay. Do we have to experience nimittas first before entering the first jhana.
The first jhana and nimittas have nothing to do with each other. Yeah? I mean, enter samadhi, that is enough. Yeah? Samadhi is when thoughts and memories are stopping and you just experience things, yeah? Without anybody telling what you experience. Yeah? This is samadhi, yeah? When the mind is completely calm. It can go into the jhanas if you have trained them in the past, then you're in the first jhana of bliss, you know, and in the second jhana of peace, you know, in the third jhana. What is it? No, happiness, joy, yeah, the third jhana of, you know, of peace, you know, and the fourth jhana of stillness. But it doesn't have to happen, yeah. People who have never trained it in their previous life will not be able to enter the jhana unless they train really with a master in the jhanas for 18 years, yeah. So, don't even talk about the jhanas, get into samadhi. If you have trained the jhanas, you automatically will get into the jhanas instead of samadhi, yeah? Don't worry about it, yeah? And the nimittas have nothing to do with the jhanas. Nimittas can arise any time. It can arise, you know, I mean, when you wake up, you know, and you suddenly see, or it can arise you during your sleep, yeah? Or it can arise, you know, when you see something, yeah? I mean, sometimes we call it, you know, in the worldly terms, déjà vu, yeah? I mean, it can be a nimitta. It's a nimitta. It has nothing to do with meditation, yeah? But, of course, you know, if you meditate a lot, you know, it can happen more often, yeah? Because the citta is more free, you know, it's more relief, yeah? But it doesn't have to happen. Next.
Longpo, can I ask a question?
Yeah.
Just now, pertaining the question on suicidal or the one to get treatment,
yeah,
because they are ill. But what about in the case where you know that there is a cure for the sickness, but you purposely don't get it treated? And then, aren't we supposed to take care of our body so that we have a chance to practice?
If you're interested in practice, yeah, and if you want to do the most with this life, you know, of course, then get the treatment. But it's still not killing yourself, yeah. Killing yourself is an act that you do voluntarily, intentionally, yeah. Because everybody has to die, you know, sooner or later, you know, just to let it happen, yeah, is not an act of killing. You understand that? If you know, what? No. Everybody has, every person has to die, yeah? And if he will die of a certain illness, yeah, that maybe 5 years ago could be cured, you know, and now because he's too old, has too many failing things, cannot be cured. So he will die, yeah? The act of killing oneself is an intention, yeah? I don't want to live anymore, so I take some action, yeah? So I take a knife, slice my wrist, or you slice my throat, yeah? Or, yeah, I mean, jump off, you know, the building, yeah? In Singapore, they have a nice building where people jump off, you know, to kill themselves, yeah? But everywhere in the world, they have these high rises where people go and, you know, just jump down, yeah? That is an act of suicide, yeah? I mean, not taking medicine, yeah? Even if you know, you can cure the illness, but you can only cure it for a little while. Yeah? Mm. And then some other illness comes. Yeah? Suicide is the intention, I don't want to live anymore, and it is mostly people who are completely depressed, who cannot see a way out. Yeah? They take this action. Yeah?
If we are just sort of sick, are we playing with our karma? I mean, let's say we are supposed to suffer this period of sickness.
With the machine, I told you, it is very clear.
No, it's not machine. Let's say I can actually go for a treatment, but I chose not to treat because.
Yeah, but then you feel pain. then you go through the pain of death if you don't take a treatment. People, you know, who also choose not to have a treatment and take, you know, for instance, heroin or whatever, you know, to suppress the pain. Yeah, they don't want to feel the pain. Yeah, so they will have to experience this kind of pain of death, you know, in one of the next lives. Yeah. Okay, so no more questions. No more.
I think there's one more. Sorry.
Yeah.
What are your suggestions on overcoming childhood trauma? Even after a decade of meditation and mindfulness practice, still surfacing when triggered or in the
sleep state. We already had the question. It's the same way. She's pointing to the camera. We already answered it.
Already answered the question. Yeah. You remember, you know, the person from Romania, yeah? So we answered the question already. So, I mean, if that person has furthermore questions because, you know, I mean, her meditation is not right, then ask it in the next Zoom session, yeah? But I think, I mean, I really elaborated on the answer, what a person can do. So, okay, no more questions. Are there some questions here?
Hi, Ajahn, can I ask a question?
Yeah. Who is that?
Hi, Ajahn. Okay, it's very new here. This is the first time I have Zoom here. So, I'm from Singapore. I have been to Palilai for the past 2 years. And actually, I have got some information and chanting from my cousin, who is staying in Big Bang, that shared with me that chanting is really good.
Yeah.
So I have been keep chanting for the past 2 years.
Yeah.
And before that, I was a very short-tempered person. Yeah. So I found that the chanting really did help me a lot.
Yeah.
And okay, recently I found out myself that I have a feeling kind of like anxious, easily to get anxious when I have a panic attack. I'm not sure whether I have anxiety or panic attack or not. But when I do that come in, right, I cannot stay calm. I keep thinking those negative things, such as like something bad going to happen. Like I also think of what happened if my parents pass away, my children pass away, my husband, all these kind of thoughts. And it really hurt me a lot. I don't like such feeling. And I had a very huge operation for 11 years ago, which is I have a organ transplant. So in the first 3 years, I was keep going admitted to hospital in and out because it's due to the rejection. So from the past 11 years, I've very phobia to go hospital, such as like last year I had COVID. I had to admit because due to my condition. So doctor said, you got to admit because your organ cannot afford to have the risk. And every time when I get to know I fall sick, I need to go to hospital, my phobia start to step in. And I don't like, I hate that feeling. So, and thanks to Buddha that I have been chanting for the past 2 years, and I have been, so far I haven't been to hospital. I think it really helped me a lot. It's a different, it changed my temper towards my family. My temper can be controlled better than before, but not the best. So only last year, November, I don't know why out of a sudden, I have I just said, like anxious panic attack. Suddenly, you know, I will feel fear, like something going to drop from the sky. I don't know why I have this feeling.
Don't never ask why you have this feeling. This feeling happens, yeah? It's just like, you know, you're in Singapore, you know, and it rains, you don't ask why it rains, it just rains. Yeah? Yeah?
Yeah.
Or it is hot because it is hot, you know, there is nothing that you can change. These things will happen, yeah? Things will happen.
Okay.
The way you protect yourself is, instead, you know, I mean, do the chanting, do a lot of chanting, do 1 hour chanting, 2 hour chanting, you know, as much as you can, yeah? But during the day, do puto, 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 puto. Yeah, chant the
Sorry
Buddha.
To interrupt, Ajahn. Sorry to interrupt. Yeah. I'm also first time here. I don't understand what is a budo.
It is a mental, you know, I mean, it is a mental object that we have. Instead of thinking something else, we think Buddha. Buddha is the Lord Buddha. You know? I mean, it is, you know, he's the teacher, you know, who taught us about all the things, you know, that I can, you know, more or less, you know, sometimes better and sometimes less better explain. Yeah. So, Buddha is the word, or you can use also Dhammo. Dhammo is the teaching of the Lord Buddha. Or you can use Sangho. Yeah. Sangho is a, you know, it's a group of people, you know, who are enlightened, who are less enlightened, you know, the eightfold people, the Arya Sangha, it's called the Noble Sangha, so you can chant this, during the day when you go for a walk, Buddha, so that the mind doesn't go, and then see, you know, when you go into these panic attacks or, you know, anxiety attacks, then use the Buddha to get out of it as soon as possible, and then ask yourself what kind of thought, what kind of memory led to this panic attack, and then investigate this,
How shall we investigate if the thoughts come in and tell ourselves?
Then look at the thought, What is it about the thought, And I'm pretty sure that it is about certain kind of death, We're all afraid of death, And, you know, this shoots up, and you don't know, and this panic attack comes, Then, when you see it is the thought of death, then get comfortable with death. Sooner or later, everyone has to die. And once we get comfortable that we are going to die sooner or later, I mean, there's no panic, there's no more panic attack. Okay?
Sadhu.
Okay, so I mean, if there is nothing more, are there some questions from,
My question is about...
anyone from online, please unmute yourself.
Wait for a moment. No. I mean, he can ask the question in the morning, there's no problem. So, I mean... Let the people, in the world ask the questions first, because they don't have the opportunity to be here, and ask questions in the morning. Okay? Go ahead.
Do you have something else?
Yes, Ajahn, sorry. Now that I don't know what's the Buddhist approach on suicide, but I did have two attempts when I was 15. I told you already. And then it always lingered even now. Not that I do it, but it's always like I'm home.
Yeah.
So I don't see it a negative thing. I see it, finally I will stop suffering. Mm. That's how the mind is processing it.
But you don't stop suffering, you get actually even more into suffering. Yeah. That's what you have to tell yourself. I mean, you cannot stop suffering by suiciding, I mean, first of all, suicide is just like killing somebody else. You go into hell. And that is not a nice place where we want to be. Suicide is also something, when we start suiciding ourselves, I mean, every life, in the beginning it is very, there are a lot of thoughts, maybe I shouldn't do it, but in the end, we started, In the next life, we are born as a human being. This suicide becomes easier, And there will be 500 suicides, until we can stop them. So, I mean, don't even try to think about it. If you attempted it and it didn't work, be happy about it, And when this notion comes in, tell yourself, I don't want to go to hell, And I don't want to be caught up for 500 lives, I mean, suiciding each time, I can't find a solution, a way out of this situation. I kill myself because it doesn't help. Okay?
Because I develop a lot of what I'm observing, like you said. Observing a lot of negative thinking. And stress, resentment, and anger, and sometimes even rage, like it's not fair. Why? And habitual, I develop a lot of negative thoughts. So I'm thinking that, like you said, metta might diminish them or make up, you know.
Help. Metta will help. But what helps most is when you see a negative thought, turn it into a positive thought.
Or say Buddha, Buddha.
Or say Buddha, yeah. Buddha. If you can't deal with it, say Buddha, Buddha, Buddha. But then remember the thought and turn it into a positive thought. Yeah?
Like Buddha thing.
So if you see a thought of hatred towards this person, then say yourself, okay, may this person be happy, may this person be at peace.
Okay.
That's how you turn around, yeah? Because these things will come up because of our karma. So if you don't first accept them, you know, and change them into something that is better, yeah? I mean, they will always come up, yeah? And you will always have to deal. And in the end, you know, Buddha, Buddha, Buddha is just a way, you know, to calm the mind to see what is going on.
Yes.
Okay?
Yes, thank you so much. Bless. Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Baba, do we have time for one last question? I think Joseph. Okay, then Joseph, I got it.
Yeah. Okay, one last question. Yeah.
Okay.
We take the questions from the audience tomorrow. You can ask tomorrow morning. Yeah.
Yeah. Ajahn?
Yeah.
I have heard you talk and shared about us accepting, not fighting our karma.
Yeah.
Or in the talks.
Yeah.
And for example, like me, I am in my past in past years, I had very good life, very happy. But all of a sudden, even before COVID and after COVID, I have noticed that certain bad karma has been ripening in my life. And some of it is really, really very strong and very painful. And like you shared about us not fighting the bad karma, accepting it. What is your advice on how to go through it and how to overcome it? Thank you.
Look, yeah, I mean, it is mostly the bad karma that happens to us, yeah. It can be an action, yeah. Somebody steals some money from us, yeah. Then reflect about it, yeah. Reflect about it, okay. In the past life, I have stolen from other people, so this is happening to me. Accept it, yeah. And then let it go, yeah. the other thing is, yeah, I mean about this karma. We do have, yeah, we look at it. Go into the feeling, we accept the feeling, yeah, and then, yeah, I mean if we are good in meditation, then we roll back. What came before this feeling, or what came before this memory, what came before this thought, what came before that? What came before that? Before that, yeah? It is like, you know, I mean, we're trying, when we see, you know, this bad karma, think about it like an avalanche, yeah? I mean, a huge snowball, you know, that will kill you or overroll you, yeah? Just like sometimes these emotions, you know, just overtake us, yeah? But this emotion, you know, is an avalanche. That means you roll back, then there's less snow, you know, until you see the stone that caused this avalanche, yeah? And once you see the stone, you take the stone out, and there's no emotion. Now there's no avalanche anymore. You see, that was it. And it has nothing to do what we think it had to do. Okay?
Yeah. Thank you, Ajahn. Thank you.
So it is, I think, yeah, if there are no more questions, you know, Sunny, is he still here?
Yes, yes.
Okay, I didn't see you. Yeah, I next time I have to bring my glasses. I hardly see any of these pictures. So, if there's nothing else, you know, no more questions from the participants, then we stop the Zoom session, huh?
Yeah. Yeah, we can end session. Thank you, Rompo. Yeah, let's all pay respects to Rompo together. No?
Okay.
See you next time.
Yeah.